This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this exciting Final Four Monday, the final game of Drop Madness, the big Gonzaga-Baylor vehicle later, the opening night of the New York Mets 2021 season, the day that Sam Darnold was moved to Carolina, and the day that there was a super spreader event known as the Texas Rangers game in Arlington. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Yeah. I make out with money. I love it so much.
Good evening to Don.
Marvelous Marv Thornberry hit a home run.
Thornberry.
That's right.
Well done.
Oh, Michael was in and a mood, boy. He did not like the Sam Darnold deal.
And good evening to me.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay. It's not heresy. Hearsay.
Can we hear the Thornberry again?
Marvelous Marv Thornberry hit a home run.
Thornberry.
That's right.
You realize that could have been good even without the correction. That's a beautiful drop.
It is a very nice drop.
And then with the correction. That's right. We'll be thinking about that for Drop Madness next year. But right now, you're down to 17 minutes to vote in the final. Plowed, the number one seed from the K region. Let's hear it, Anthony. The number one seed.
Don plowed his entire neighborhood yesterday.
Against the number four seed in the Don region.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
I'm not sizable how I feel lead. About this.
Sizable lead for Stench. 17 minutes left to vote. Well, obviously, the talk of the day, besides tonight's NCAA final, would be Sam Darnold has finally been moved by the New York Jets. And they got a pretty good haul for it, at least according to Rich Cimini. Here he is earlier.
I thought the actual compensation was okay. I mean, I thought maybe they would have got a little more this year. They're only getting the 6 this year, but they do get a 2 next year. And so considering the way the market's dried up, like you said, Don, teams of, you know, the Ryan Fitzpatricks of the world and Andy Daltons have found homes in recent weeks. So I don't think there were a lot of suitors for Sam. In fact, you know, I think Carolina might have been the only one, and talks didn't really ramp up until over the weekend, I was told. So the compensation, I think, is fair for both teams. It's just that you get back to the bigger issue where I thought the Jets could have gone in a different direction. But that's just my opinion.
Sixth rounder this year, second and fourth rounder next year. Not too bad, in my opinion, Don. I don't know. To me, it's almost like Rich kind of contradicted himself, because in one sense he says not that good a haul, but then he also says there's basically no interest. So I don't know, Don. I think it was pretty good work by Joe Douglas.
Hey, listen, you got a second-round pick, right, which I don't think anybody would have been surprised at if they had gotten a second-round pick. All right, they just
I was starting to get there.
They got it next year, plus a sixth and a fourth. Right?
But I'd gotten to the point here, Don, where I'd started to think that a second round pick wasn't possible anymore. I mean, that's why I think this is pretty good.
And Carolina believes in him, and it looks like he's going to be the quarterback for them going forward, and we'll see. We've done a lot of talking. A lot of people have opinions. And we're going to find out who's right or wrong. The only thing is, how much damage did the Jets do to Sam? Like, can it be correctable? Right. But I think it can. You know, people forget too, Peter. And again, I'm not saying it's a no-brainer. I'm just going with my gut here. All right? That second year, I mean, basically missed a month because of mono. It's been a rough 3 years for Sam. All right? There's a lot of adversity that he's faced. And I think people are kind of overrating. You got to find a way. You've got to be able to rise above the adversity. Yeah, if you're Mahomes or Rodgers, maybe. I don't think anybody's got Sam in that category. But a very good quarterback,
people, you know,
he still can be.
Zahn, I think for me, and obviously I've been vacillating between the two here. Like I wanted Sam to go to Washington, which obviously shows that I do think there's a chance he could turn out to be good. But on the flip side, the people like Michael who don't see anything, the hard part is, Don, he doesn't even really have like that game that you point to and go, yeah, he was bad, but remember that one day when he was just lights out? He'll have specific plays that you liked.
Oh.
But I challenge you to point out the game that you would hang your hat on and go, somehow that day he managed to be great in spite of it all. And he's had 38 chances to do that.
Well, see, I think that is also very he's been awful. He's had 38 games to prove it, as if I think there has been times. Again, nobody had a problem with Sam after his rookie season. He got better as the season wore on. He had the fourth best quarterback rating in the final month of the season. People were legit excited about what he can be after his first season. A really good, solid rookie season for a team that wasn't very good. A rookie season that saw him against the Miami Dolphins in week two throw for 334 yards and a touchdown. Did throw a couple of picks. I will give you the picks are a bit of a problem. How about the game against the Green Bay Packers? Second to last game of the season, threw for 341 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, a quarterback rating of 128.4. Is that a game?
That
against
the
good
year?
Football team?
That was 2 years ago?
That was his rookie season.
Rookie season.
Okay. So that was his rookie season where he threw for 2,865 yards, 17 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Again, not a great rookie season, but he got better as the season wore on. Had a game against Houston, 253, two touchdowns, no interceptions. All right.
That's a fine game. The Packer, right, one's a good line.
All right. And now he goes into his second season. Basically misses the first month because of mono. And then with a new coach and a new system and a new general manager, everything else in his third year, and everything kind of falls apart. So when you say you haven't seen anything, well, that's selective memory. I'm not getting on you, but as of all the people that nobody had a problem after his rookie season. They felt like they had the quarterback and things were progressing. And then no talent, bad coaching decisions, and then you get what you had over the last couple of years. But don't tell me that he's shown you nothing.
Let's hear from known Jets enthusiast, to say the least, Mike Greenberg.
The Jets bring in Sam Darnold and started him immediately. Just threw him to the Wolves. Just get him out there. And then, when things started going badly around him, they left him out there. And then they tanked a season with him on the roster. They gave him no chance to succeed. And with a terrible team, with terrible defense and terrible weapons, what does that do?
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
And I'm looking year two. You'll remember this game, Peter.
Go ahead.
Against Washington. 293, four touchdowns and an interception. In a 34-17 win over Washington. The next week, a win over Oakland, 315, two touchdowns, no interceptions. So again, I don't want to get on anybody. Michael's not here to defend himself. I never seen it. Sorry, you're not watching. All right? Because those are games. Those are moments. You want to pick it apart. Oh, well, Oakland stinks and, you know, Green Bay already. Fine. If you want to tell me I haven't seen it, well, I don't know what you need to see from 315, two touchdowns, no interceptions.
But that was a long time ago, man.
Again, that's his second year. It's 2 years ago. And then last year, Greeny's right, they tanked. They didn't get him any weapons. One of the biggest off-season acquisitions was a guy that's now playing lacrosse. Coach was awful. Not saying they sabotaged anything, but they certainly weren't completely invested in winning last year.
Now, real quick, when you look at the big picture on Sam Darnold, can't forget Darnold was also once a top-flight prospect like Zach Wilson. In fact, the prospect from Highest Scouts, Inc., the prospect grades over the last five drafts, highest Trevor Lawrence at 97, Joe Burrow at 94, Sam Darnold right there at 94 also, followed by Wilson and Tua Tagovailoa at 93 apiece. Mm-hmm. Now, one cool thing, Don, regardless of how you feel about Sam, the Jets now have 7 picks in the first 2 rounds over the next 2 years.
Yeah. See,
in 2021, they'll have 2 first-rounders and 1 second-rounder, and next year they'll have 2 first-rounders and 2 second-rounders.
See, that's why it's kind of a little overrated to kind of complain about the haul they would have gotten if they kept Sam and traded the number 2 pick. Yes, they would have gotten the haul, but it's a team that's got tons of picks and cap space anyway. Now, you don't want to ever turn down picks, but you know, maybe they just felt like, listen, we got a bunch of picks. You know, and we're good. And this all means nothing, Peter. All of this is just fodder. If they love Wilson that much, then don't you have to do it? Even if you like Sam, and even if you believe in Sam, if you just love Wilson, you wake up in the middle of the night screaming his name.
Okay.
Then I guess you got to do it, right?
Oh, absolutely. If that's how this team felt, that if there, let me say, even you would agree. Sam has not done enough if you're in love with Wilson.
Even if Sam did enough, if you're in love with the quarterback and believe he's flat out going to be better, forget about the money Sam was due. If you love him, you get him. The one thing you can never do, Peter, is be in love with the quarterback that's there and then just pass on him and then watch him become great. You wouldn't be able to live with yourself. And even with Sam being gone, I still think Joe Douglas can look at it and say, listen, that wasn't my pick. I love Wilson, and let's see what happens with him.
Sam will be reunited with Robbie Anderson on the Panthers. Darnold's 11 touchdown passes to Anderson are his most to any receiver. 11 to Anderson, 10 to Crowder, and 6 to Chris Herndon. So back with Robbie Anderson, who was pretty damn good last year.
And I like this coaching staff a lot. I mean, they should have obviously hired Matt Rhule instead of Adam Gase. That's a no-brainer now looking back. And even then, I didn't know what they were doing. And it's really there for him to kind of to shine.
Listen to this. In the common draft era, listen to this list of quarterbacks who were taken with a top 3 pick by a team who traded up to take them. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Sam Darnold. Mitch Trubisky. Carson Wentz. Jared Goff. Robert Griffin III. Ryan Leaf. Jeff George. And the two who certainly say fit outside of that would be Michael Vick and Steve Barkowski. But
well, of the ones that are currently still in the league that you mentioned, Peter,
mm-hmm.
all of them not with the team that drafted.
Mm-hmm. It basically just begs, you know, when your team is gearing up to move that massive haul to jump up and get a quarterback. While obviously, Don, this must just be coincidental, it's hard to ignore this. It just doesn't work very often. It just doesn't.
Listen, it doesn't work very often, period. You think of the great quarterbacks in the NFL right now, how many of them were top 3 picks? You can think of the busts sometimes better than you can think of the ones that actually work out. It is a crapshoot, man. And a lot of it has to do with who do you get drafted by? I'm really a believer, Peter. You might think I'm all wet on this. I don't think there's that much of a difference between all these guys that come out of college and are eligible for the draft. They were all studs in high school. All of them were all Americans. They get recruited heavily. They go to schools, have great careers to where they're going to be eligible for the draft. And then who drafts them? There's a reason why you can't come up with too many quarterbacks in the history of the Chicago Bears. Or the Cleveland Browns, or the New York Jets. But other organizations, you can rattle them off. It's all who drafts you, man. Yeah, there's differences, obviously, but I think the one thing that's very overrated is you can overcome being drafted by a bad organization and have bad talent coach. I think that's almost impossible.
Panthers GM Scott Fitterer on trading for Darnold, quote, "I just think it's in this offense with Joe Brady, with Matt Rhule, the weapons that we have around him, that he can take that next step with us." About Bridgewater, Fitterer said, "I think there's things we have to work through, obviously. I already talked to Teddy's agents. We're going to find the right place, whether it's here, wherever it may be. We'll figure things out contract-wise as well." So sounds like it's Sam's job.
Hey, and you look at Bridgewater's numbers. Again, not great. 3,700 yards. Seven, was it 15 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. And they're done with him because they believe somebody can do better with that team.
Like I said earlier, Carolina was a pesky and competitive team last year. A handful of games that they lost by a touchdown or less. Another interesting Sam stat for you. These two back-to-back are pretty interesting. Sam's total QBRs over the last 3 years, 46, 46, and 40. Since QBR began in 2006, Eli Manning from 2016 to 2018 is the only other player to post three consecutive seasons with a sub-50 QBR, minimum 300 attempts. When Darnold has not been pressured in his career, his QBR is 59, the worst since 2018. Hmm. Upside for Sam, he doesn't turn 24 years old until June 5th.
Yeah.
On Tom Brady's 24th birthday, he had 6 career passing yards. On Aaron Rodgers' 24th birthday, he was 3 days removed from his first career TD pass. On Kurt Warner's 24th birthday, he was over 3 years away from throwing his first NFL attempt. See, and on Phillip Rivers' 24th birthday, he had 1 career passing TD, but he also had 11 kids.
But so this is another example where he was a – I guess when you look at it now, there was a bit of a project. Like, he wasn't the win-now guy. That's why Cleveland moved up to one. That's why Cleveland at one took Baker Mayfield, because they felt he was more ready to win immediately. And that Sam was a bit of a project, or at least a little work in progress. And think of the lack of work he got from the Jets. So there was a maturation that never really happened. So you could talk about trying to rise above. How are you supposed to rise above bad talent when you're just at the development stage of your career? Yeah, you might get traded to a bad team and elevate them because you're experienced and you've already developed your play. Or maybe you went to or came out of college ready to win immediately, like Dan Marino was, like Baker Mayfield was. But for a kid that's developing, yeah, you're asking him to rise above the lack of talent, lack of coaching, and still be in his development stage. So maybe he'll go to Carolina and it won't be great right away. But maybe there'll be patience and he'll be able to build up, because, like you said, he's still very young.
Let's hear from Damian Woody, who was on the program earlier, his reaction to the Darnold trade.
I think it's in the best interest of both sides, to be honest with you. I've always been a big believer in Sam Darnold and his talents. It's unfortunate that the organization, over, you know, his 3 years being with the Jets organization, that they haven't done enough to surround him. But with the new coach, wants to bring in a new quarterback, and I think it just is what it is, man. But I think the haul that they got back for Sam Darnold is pretty good, particularly the 2-4 comes in 2022, when there's going to be a full college football season. And I think that's big. So kudos to Joe Douglas for getting that done. Obviously it's going to be the Zach Wilson era in New York, and we're going to see how this whole thing plays out.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, Don, we've talked a lot about Sam Darnold. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention one of the great college basketball games of all time over the weekend. Truly a battle every possession of the way. Saturday night between Gonzaga and UCLA. Let's hear the end of the game, the call, the play-by-play on Westwood One.
Dribbling to the right side, it's Juzang. 7 seconds to go. 6 seconds. Juzang in the paint. Fade away. No! Got his own rebound. Slithers to the rim and lays it in. 3 seconds to go. We're tied at 90. Here comes Suggs. Long three for the win. Banks it home! Banks it home! Jalen Suggs! A deep banked three to send Gonzaga one step closer to history. Unbeaten Gonzaga comes up with the hero play of the year from the freshman, and they're one win away from an undefeated national championship.
And it's only appropriate that we go from one national championship to another. That's right. It's time, ladies and gentlemen. Drop Madness has concluded. I want to give a big thank you to our friends at Wendy's, of course.
Yes.
Quality is our recipe. That's Wendy's. Wendy's, we got you. It all comes down to the one seed, Don Ploud.
Don Ploud his entire neighborhood yesterday.
Against the four seed from the Don region,
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
Over 3,570 yep. votes are in. And the four seed has stomped the one seed, 61-39.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
Stench. Stench in Mamaroneck, the winner of 2021 Drop Madness. Congratulations, Don. The streak continues.
Streak continues. It wasn't the drop that I would have picked, but I'm still very, very proud to win. I'm very proud of everybody that voted. This is awesome. This is one of the best I think we've ever had.
And by the way,
we'll try it again next year, buddy.
That'll do it for ENN on this Monday evening.
Knicks and Nets after Carlin right here on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.